Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The United States right now has the hottest economy anywhere in the world. We're rebuilding that awesome might that we were just talking about, our United States Armed Forces. America is working again, America is winning again, and America is respected again, respected like never before.
That's President Trump live up in New Hampshire last night for his big rally, and it was quite a crowd, as he tends to draw to those things.
Per usual.
Yeah, I want you to hear some of that. We'll have a little more of it throughout the morning here, so you can hear. He addressed yesterday this dispute with Palestine and Israel and Omar and Tlaib and all this stuff. It's just as much ado about nothing. It's more outrage. The state of Israel denied access for a couple of United States activist congresswomen who wanted to go stand on Israeli territory and encourage people to boycott and divest in Israel. Israel said, no, thank you. You're not welcome here if that's what you're going to do. It was really not a controversy. And to listen to the left this morning, Bernie Sanders wants to cut off aid to Israel because of what they did, if you can believe the nonsense there. Let's listen to Bernie this morning on Cut 5.
The idea that a member of the United States Congress cannot visit a nation, which, by the way, we support to the tune of billions and billions of dollars, is clearly an outrage. And if Israel doesn't want members of the United States Congress to visit their country to get a firsthand look at what's going on, and I've been there many, many times, but if he doesn't want members to visit, maybe he can respectfully decline the billions of dollars that we give to Israel.
Oh, that's interesting. It's funny that Bernie suddenly has an opinion on this, and I don't do a good Bernie. I'm just saying. He suddenly has an opinion on this. Bernie was silent. I just have to point this out. I'm sorry, but I got to point this out. Bernie was silent when our ancestors across the pond in Britain seriously debated in the British Parliament denying President Trump the right to travel to Great Britain. Do you remember that? I'm going to let you listen to a few seconds of it just because I love listening to their accent.
Racists who will stir up hatred in this country will not be allowed in this country, and if they come to this country, they'll be arrested. You cannot stand up to horrible racism or pretend to do so and invite the man in through the front door.
Action is needed now, not a slap on the wrist. Cancel the state visit.
Secretary. The fact that the 45th president chose to retweet material from Britain First is not just offensive to British people of Muslim heritage. It is offensive to all decent British people.
Oh, we got to get Katie Hopkins back on here. I miss that accent, even if those people are all, you know, crazy. They didn't end up banning the president, but they did encourage the prime minister not to invite him for a state visit. Then they passed a rule that denied him the right to address parliament. And Bernie Sanders was completely silent about that. He didn't threaten to cut off aid to Britain or NATO or anything like that. So this is just pure politics at play here. The people in Israel have turned this down because they have a law on the books that prohibits the entry into Israel of those who call for and work to impose boycotts on Israel. That's part of their law. They ended up letting Tlaib in, by the way, to see Granny, but that's it.
I think that even, like, softens the whole thing, you know, because
I don't care and I don't blame them and that's their law. But when you first hear it, you're like, oh, that's shocking. And then they're like, yeah, but you can still come see grandma. You're like, oh, okay, they're fine.
As long as you go visit granny, get some biscuits and gravy and just let it be, we're all good. But if you go down there and start doing, because you know what she'll do. She's going to get there. She's going to launch some Facebook Live attack on Israel.
Just work her agenda.
Because she's crazy.
Yeah,
she's crazy. Let me get to Tom here on line
she's
one.
She's a crazy person.
She's crazy. Tom, what's going on this morning?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great, thank you. What's going on?
You know, I was one of the people I worked with the other night was looking through her old phone and stumbled across something about Lacey Clay having this thing called the Peace Initiative, where St. Louis Metropolitan Police officers have to ask a felon looking at them with a gun, please don't shoot me, before they're allowed to engage with deadly force. You know, that would put them with less rights than me as a private citizen in a stand your ground law, where if I feel threatened, I can protect myself. But the police officers, God forbid, have to ask permission first. Please don't shoot me. What kind of ridiculousness is that?
Well, what it would do, Tom, is it would give us a lot more dead police officers. This is the same. It's the same nonsense that came up after Ferguson, where they want you to go through a checklist in your mind before you resort to deadly force. That few seconds of indecision could result in a dead police officer.
You know, I think what it's going to do, Mark, is just going to open up a lot of spots on the police force, because I don't see them sticking around for that mess.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, hey, how you doing? Got to go, you know?
Yeah, well, Tom, thank you for the call, and thanks for pointing that out, because if people hadn't heard about that, honestly, your first district congressman, Lacey Clay, proposed this on the Mike Brown anniversary last Friday, a week ago. And it would impose these standards on police officers when it comes to use of force. And they would have to use of force as a last resort. And they would have to be taught de-escalation techniques. I got no problem with de-escalation techniques. But don't tell me police officers have to run through a checklist before they determine in a split second what might take their lives.
Right. I can't imagine they're not already taught de-escalation techniques anyway. That's got to be part of the training.
Right. Like, thank you. This is just insanity. And the greatest thing about it is that this will never become law. There's no way this would ever I don't even think it would pass the House now with Nancy Pelosi in charge. They may try to vote on it, but this is crazy. And they call it a critical step to stopping the epidemic of police violence. Police violence? Six officers were shot the other night in Philadelphia. Ah, what world are we coming to?
I mean, yeah.
It's and crazy.
There's so many, this is the worst thing I'm going to say. There's so many dead children and babies because of violence at the hands of criminals that have pushed police out of their communities.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not even to mention all the deaths connected with Planned Parenthood. I mean, we could get into that if we really wanted
to
talk about outrage.
That's not where I was going.
I didn't think so.
That is not where I was
going. I didn't think
but,
so. All right. 314-241-9797. Now, we're going to get you updated on business because the stock market's been all over the place this week. We'll find out what's going on here at the bottom of the hour. I'll get to your phone calls up next. In the next hour, we're going to talk to one of my favorite guests, Sheriff Bill Wayburn. He's the sheriff of Tarrant County, Texas. He's dealing with a lot of stuff down there, including this immigration mess. We're going to get his thoughts on it when we come in the 7 o'clock hour. So this happened yesterday. Go to cut 19, please.
Now today, I'm ending my campaign for president. But I will never stop believing that America can only move forward when we work together. Don't tell me that we can't figure out how to lower prescription drug costs or tackle climate change. Don't tell me we have to accept the number of gun deaths or the reduced job prospects of far too many Americans.
So I took my mother to see Deep Throat.
Yeah. Hey, John, this was over before it started. That was a Hickenlooper, the dude from Colorado, shut down his campaign yesterday. You know who I think's next? is Neto O'Rourke. I mean, Beto O'Rourke. I watched some of him yesterday. Well, he's lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's just completely gone off the deep end. Somebody asked him yesterday if he was considering quitting his presidential bid and running for Senate again. Go to Cut 17.
And I got to tell you, there's some part of me, and there's a big part of me, that wants to stay here and be with my family and be with my community. I love El Paso. There have even been some who've suggested that I stay in Texas and run for Senate. But that would not be good enough for this community. That would not be good enough for El Paso. That would not be good enough for this country.
Sure as hell wouldn't be good for the country.
Oh.
If you got elected to anything. Can I just tell you that, Beto?
You have to be so arrogant to be like, my presence is here isn't good enough. I need to be nationwide. Okay. Cool.
Oh, boy. No kidding. So the president last night was, of course, speaking up in Pennsylvania. And he talked a little bit on the fact that, I want to go to his bite on background checks. I've got it here as number 26. When I asked for that earlier, that was not the correct soundbite. Do you have that by name in there?
The bite on background checks.
Yeah.
Where the
president pointed out that it's not the gun that pulls the trigger, which was kind of the point that I made yesterday.
I gotcha.
People have to remember, however, that there is a mental illness problem that has to be dealt with. It's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's the person holding the gun.
So the president was talking about background checks there and why he would support, more extensive background checks. It's funny that liberals want more extensive background checks in a system that already is very thorough for background checks, right? Background checks wouldn't have stopped a single one of these recent shootings going back as far as you want to go. Balls were dropped. People were not put into the system as having mental health challenges or threatening people with knives or threatening putting hit lists out on people. None of that stuff was in the system. That's not the background check system's fault. Those are laws that need to be changed so that that stuff gets added to the background so that you can catch these things before they happen. That's what needs to change. This talk of increasing background checks is again just knee-jerk stuff that it doesn't amount to anything. All the universal background check is saying that you can't, if you have a firearm, you can't give it to your child. That any exchange of a firearm from one person to another, they'd have to drive down to the local gun store, do a background check, and then complete the transfer of a weapon of some sort. And again, wouldn't have changed any of these situations. That's the point. None of this would have changed a single one of these tragedies. 314-241-9797. We've got a business update coming up, and we'll get to your phone calls. We're gaining ground.
We're going in the right direction here.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to get some of the more obnoxious in your mind ones out of the way. And like the first song I played with Halsey, I was like, he's going to hate this. And Denise, you said you didn't really like it either.
Which one?
That Halsey song, the East Side song.
Yeah.
So that's why I played it super early because I wanted to hear it. It was my only shot.
I'll take your word for it. Hey, coming up this morning about 7:37, Texas Sheriff Bill Wayburn is going to join us. He's sort of on the front lines down there of what's going on in the immigration debate. We're going to get him on here. He's great. About 7:37, we'll talk about that. And this morning at 8:37 in the 8 o'clock hour, what's going on with the economy? There seems to be a lot of talk out there about the risk of a recession, that sort of thing. We're going to talk to Christina Partsenevelis, who's with the Fox Business Network, and we'll get her on here talking about that. In the meantime, let's figure out what's going on up there today. Jennifer Kashenka is joining us this morning. Happy Friday.
Oh, yes. Happy Friday.
Boy, that was a sound of relief.
I'll tell you. Yeah.
Is it that bad?
Yeah.
It's been a rough week, crazy morning,
especially, yes.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, tell us what's going on.
All right. Futures this morning are sharply higher after stocks closed mixed yesterday. The Dow Industrials rose 100. The Nasdaq slipped 7. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard says the trade war between the U.S. and China is fueling uncertainty about the economic outlook, but stressed that the domestic economy appears to be on sound footing. In an interview with Fox, he also played down the rout Wednesday in U.S. equity markets, noting that stock prices might be more affected by trade-related uncertainty than consumers. He did not comment on whether the Fed should cut rates by a half percentage point at its next meeting, and added that he doesn't believe the central bank needs to lower rates before that meeting. Stepped up production of pickup trucks and SUVs has contributed to an excess of older models on dealer lots, and that could mean a better deal for you. Analysts say the extra inventory could force automakers to offer bigger factory discounts or slow production. The excess of previous year SUVs was nearly triple that of a year ago at the start of August. Older pickups make up 5.1% of overall inventory. That's double the same period last year. American and Southwest have been bumping thousands of passengers off airplanes since their Boeing 737 MAX fleets were grounded in mid-March following two fatal crashes. The FAA says American denied seats to more than 69,900 passengers voluntarily in the first 6 months of 2019, up from 28,400 in the same period last year, while involuntarily denying boarding to 5,022 passengers, up from 678 last year. Southwest denied seats to 22,400 people voluntarily through June, compared with 10,400 in the first months of 2018. Some analysts have said they do not expect the MAX jets to fly again before the end of the year. Before a giant data breach at Capital One Financial, the Wall Street Journal says employees raised concerns within the company about what they saw as high turnover in its cybersecurity unit and a failure to promptly install some software to help spot and defend against hacks. The cybersecurity unit cycled through senior leaders and staffers in recent years, with about a third of its employees leaving in 2018. Disney has notched its $5 billion release of the year, with the animated hit Toy Story 4 grossing that mark as of yesterday at the worldwide box office. The fourth installment of the talking toy franchise is on pace to become the highest grossing movie of the series, with $422 million collected in the U.S. and Canada, an additional $580 million from overseas markets. Disney is on an unprecedented winning streak this year, with other hits like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame also setting records. You can now head up to Iowa for some sports wagering. Iowa opened sports books at 8 of its casinos yesterday, with 18 more expected to follow suit within the next few weeks. And there may be no crying in baseball, but apparently there's a lot of crying at work. According to a new survey from career site Monster.com, 8 out of 10 workers admit to crying at work, with almost half saying they were driven to tears by their boss or colleagues. Personal issues were a distant second. Even though a majority of workers say they cried at work, it's likely they closed the door of a conference room or took a moment in the restroom to shed their tears.
Mark? No.
That's a high number.
No, there's no way 8 out of 10 people cry at work. Really? I have a hard time wrapping my brain around that. Who are these people?
I don't know.
Is this like on a regular basis or just like a one-off? Like,
no, it's crying. A one-off.
Yeah.
No. That's a, definitely
that's,
one-off.
I think that's...
Sometime in your life. Sometime in your life you cried.
You guys have never cried in at work for any reason? Like something's like hit you the wrong way?
I'm sitting at work and I get a phone call that somebody I love passed away. I might,
that counts. That counts.
That counts? It's not work related.
No, I mean, there are several. That's the number one reason.
At work when you're crying.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
whatever the reason may be.
Yeah. Now that we've broadened it out a little bit, I might be able to accept that.
Someday, sometime, one time in your life.
Jennifer, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Yeah. You know, maybe if I stub my toe walking out the door or you know, that door over there is so heavy, you bump your head into it, I might shed a tear. But because somebody at work, she specifically said, because somebody at work hurt their feelings. What? Really? You cry?
This number does not surprise me, but I'm a crier. I cry at everything.
And I'm not. So I'm having a really hard time searching.
Yeah, thank you.
For
8 out of 10. I'm thinking, what would make me cry at work? I mean, if you walked
does it
in
count
one
when
day,
I was like 16 years old at work, that's much more likely than the past 15 years that I've, you know, or 16 years that I've been working in radio.
I don't know.
I can't remember that.
Sue Thomas, what do you think about that?
I understand the bad news part. I think that's where it mostly comes from. Maybe. Right? Yeah. If somebody has passed away, that's happened to me two or three times. So I get it.
But I mean, you could be anywhere when you get that phone call. Just the fact that it happened at work
shouldn't count into this. You're here 8 hours a day, right? So chances are that's when you're going to get it.
You've gotten bad news at work.
Yeah, whatever the bad news is.
Yeah,
you happen to get it there and you have to go to the bathroom to get a minute. Or you come back from something traumatic. That's also happened where somebody passed and then you see everybody and they say, how are you?
And you lose
it. You fall apart.
Yeah. Now, I've had at our old studio, I had a file cabinet fall on my foot, like that I lost a toenail and could barely walk. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I cried. I don't remember, but that would be the one thing that I can recall that I might have.
Mm. Yeah, stuff just happens.
Yeah.
I've cried from laughter.
I was in a soundproof studio, and Gino heard my screams. Yelling. I may not have cried. I think I was screaming bloody murder.
I cried tears of joy in November of 2016 when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton.
Does that count?
See, I'm just thinking of it being a sad occasion.
But no.
You're part of the statistics.
Okay, right,
yeah, anything counts.
Now we got it straight.
I've cried from laughter so many times.
I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm sure you and Wiggins together,
oof.
Right?
Oof.
I saw Wiggins yesterday in the hallway. He came in early because he thought there was a meeting of some sort, and he's a funny guy.
He is.
He really is a funny guy.
Very funny. We are lucky to have him.
Sue's goofball. Reserving her comments in there.
Dave Glover's Jimmy Stewart makes me cry with that. Oh my gosh, I don't know what it is. It kills me.
That's funny. All right, let's get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Joseph Pinion. Joseph is taking a closer look at this Israel controversy this morning and whether or not they were wrong to ban a couple of U.S. congresswomen from coming over there. We'll talk about that. Plus, when we come back, I want to talk about this teacher in the Kirkwood School District, who doesn't want to be referred to as Mr. or Mrs. It's in an elementary school. What in the world is going on? We'll be right back.
Gender neutral pronouns are generally used by people who identify as genderqueer or non-binary.
A few common gender neutral pronouns are they, z, and a, but there are a whole array of gender neutral pronouns.
People think long and hard about the pronouns I'd like to use and why.
If you use the wrong pronoun for someone, that's what's called misgendering.
When a person has new pronouns, it can take a bit of getting used to, but it's really important to use the right one.
Okay, so I just wanted to clear that up in case you didn't know what a gender neutral pronoun was. In the Kirkwood School District, Channel 4 had this story. I saw it a couple other places too. At the Kaiser Elementary School, they have a new teacher who doesn't go by Mr. or Ms., but instead prefers to be referred to as the title of MX.
Pronounced mix.
Mix.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be my question. How do you pronounce it?
You say mix.
And I'm sorry, but the school district needs to just say no. If that was a high school situation, I can understand it. But there is no reason that a first grader has to have that thing explained to them. They just don't. I as the parent get to decide when my kid gets exposed to that concept that not everybody's a boy or a girl. I'm sorry. I would be at the school board raising hell about this. And the district down there, clearly a bunch of crazy lefties have issued some, you know, generic statement about how they respect individual preferences from their teachers, staff, and students. No, I don't think that's okay. How would you feel about that in kindergarten or first grade?
They weren't very specific in this story about what grade it is. Not that it really matters. Like for me, I mean, I think that one of them said that their 9-year-old is in there, so I'm assuming this is probably a fourth or fifth grade teacher. And I don't know that these things are being talked about. I don't believe they are, from what I remember when I had a fourth or fifth grader. Even when you do like your health and wellness kind of things, these kind of things are not covered. So it does put me, like personally, into an uncomfortable territory of, I don't think that this is the time that I would be talking to and I have a third grader about this.
Yes.
And them coming home going, I have to call my teacher Mix. I yeah, I have a bit of a problem with this.
So the point being, though, is that even if it's a fifth grade teacher, and at that point the kids have had the talk, still doesn't explain this, because the school policy, here's what they said. Our curriculum doesn't address gender identity. If the students ask why the teacher prefers the title mix, the response will be it is the preference of the teacher. But that doesn't fly, because
my biggest
the fourth
problem,
graders
though,
will be talking about it.
Yes.
And everybody in the school will know about it.
And that's my problem, is that you're distracting from what needs to be going on at school.
Thank you.
I want them to be teaching them how to read, how to write, how to spell, and do all of those things. These things are an unnecessary distraction in the school for what I want my child to be learning and doing at school.
Bingo. That's my point. Why wouldn't the district just jettison the political correctness and speak the truth? There's no way that most parents don't feel that way. Maybe not in Kirkwood, but I'm just telling you, in the reality that surrounds it, most parents would not want their first and second graders to, because they're going to hear about it.
Right.
Then they're going to come home, and then they're going to want you to explain that.
I'm fine with whatever this teacher wants to call themselves out of school. I just don't want it to be a focus of attention when my child is at school.
To me, it strikes me as very selfish on the part of that individual. I'm sorry, it just does. That you're going to impact every single child in that school because you selfishly can't be referred to as the gender to which you were born into this world. Go teach at high school. As far as I'm concerned, go teach at high school where the kids are more emotionally mature and they can handle concepts like that. I don't understand that one at all. But Channel 4 had the story, though, and we'll put a link to it up on our webpage there if you want to find out more about it. When we come back, we're going to talk to Joe Pinion. He's been taking a closer look at this dust-up over whether Omar and Tlaib should be able to go to Israel. They really have blown this whole thing out of proportion. We'll talk about why. Plus, Sheriff Bill Wayburn from down in Tarrant County, Texas, talking about the immigration problems down there. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.